You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Hello, everyone. Here I am again, Frank Van Bree, sitting in for Larry Connors. I was sure after the last two episodes that I would be canned, but he still likes me. He still likes me. So I'm excited. This is my last day, at least for this week. Maybe you'll let me come back on again sometime if I do good today. You got to do good 3 days in a row, right? So this morning, I want to do a little monologue. You know, as I said, I really like this show because I get to learn. I have to, like, go to school so that I can kind of talk on the radio and make some semblance of sense. Again, I don't do this every day. I'm in business, now I get to do some broadcasts. So this is a lot of fun, I'll tell you. Today, I want to talk about illegal immigration. And I've done a bit of research, so get ready. I'm going to start with Cesar Chavez in the 60s. He's the founder of the United Farm Workers Union. This was in Arizona, is where he lived. He hated illegal immigrants. Couldn't stand them. He wanted the Mexicans to stay in Mexico. He knew that they would work for less than his American workers in the union and thus get hired by American farmers or businesses. And that would reduce the opportunities for striking for his folks. Makes sense. He was opposed to the Bracero program, which legally imported cheap, disposable labor from Mexico at the expense of American citizens of Mexican and other origins who had been working in the fields. He said, quote, "It looks almost impossible to start some effective program to get these people their jobs back from the Braceros." So what would he do? He would dispatch armed union members out into the desert. He was considered a progressive hero for this. President Obama declared his birthday a national holiday. I skipped a part. He put the folks out into the desert to actually assault the illegal immigrants coming in. His men beat the immigrants, chains and whips and barbed wire. And those who did get into the U.S. and work as scabs, he found their families. They were attacked. Their homes were burned in Mexico. And for this, he was a hero of the left, Cesar Chavez. So until recently, the Dems agreed with him. He is considered a progressive hero. Barack Obama declared his birthday a national holiday. Colleges are named – one college is named after him. Dozens of schools are named after him. They opposed unchecked immigration because they knew it harmed American workers. Harvard even did a study back then and said the refugees coming into this country caused American workers' wages to fall 30%. So in the late 70s, Governor Jerry Brown of California opposed the refugees from entering California. He says, "We already got enough poor people here." Literally, quote, "There's something a little strange about allowing 500,000 more people into the state when we cannot take care of the million Californians that we already have out of work." Well, Joe Biden as a senator agreed. He agreed. He introduced federal legislation to curb the arrival of illegal aliens. And then two decades later, the Democrats were still leery of this. In 1995, Bill Clinton, in the State of the Union, said, quote, "Americans are rightly disturbed by the large number of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public services they use impose burdens on our taxpayers." What would happen if somebody said that today? I guarantee you they would be called a racist. Yeah, but Bill Clinton, guess what happened to him? Standing ovation at the State of the Union. So then fast forward 10 more years, and Hillary Clinton says, "I vote for a fence on the border." So did Barack Obama. So did Chuck Schumer. So did 23 other Senate Democrats. But then by 2016, something had changed. Something had changed. Hillary was running for president. A full 20 years after her husband had made that statement during the State of the Union back in 95. And he realized that she was upset about illegal immigration. As a matter of fact, she scolded the country for enforcing border controls. So I hear the music. What changed? Let's find out on the other side of the hour. Ready? On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
These children are being used as pawns for power and a voter drive by the Democrat Party. And that is exactly what's happened. When people go, why is this happening? That is why we need to get to why it's happening.
Yes, why is it happening? And so, to help us answer those questions and more, I have from the Heritage Foundation, Laura Reese, and she is the director for the Center of Technological Policy and a senior research fellow from Homeland Security. Laura, welcome. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Good. You're really at the Heritage Foundation, correct?
I am at the Heritage Foundation, yeah.
Okay, but you were at the Department of Homeland Security at one point. Were you an acting deputy or chief of staff?
Yeah, that's right, acting deputy chief of staff at DHS, that's right.
That's it. Okay, well, you know what? Then that makes you – that's why I got messed up. I'm so sorry. But that makes you very, very well qualified to answer some of the questions. I just did an opening monologue. I don't know that you were able to hear it, but I started with Cesar Chavez in the 60s and went through the fact that the Democrat Party was very, very focused on the American worker. Care deeply about the American worker, and all of a sudden, Bill Clinton, even in '95, was talking about it, got a standing ovation at the State of the Union about how we've got to protect the American worker from illegal aliens. But then all of a sudden, something changed, and so in 2016, when Hillary was running, now all of a sudden, it's all about the illegal immigration. And I was just getting ready to ask the question, what changed? And we came on the break, and here you are. Maybe you could answer that for us.
Well, at some point, the left realized that if they bring in more immigrants, they view them as future Democratic voters. And so they use every avenue, every mechanism, every lever they can to bring in more illegal immigration, more illegal immigrants, to make it easier to come here illegally. And then in terms of legal immigration, they want to increase that as well. So they kind of view it as a buffet, and they want all of the above, more of everything, please.
Interesting. Now, so I know that Yale did a study not too long ago, and, well, we heard all about it in the election, that there's 22 million illegals in the U.S. And I know that the Democrat Party for sure wants all of them to get citizenship. And as you have mentioned, that's a vote, right? They get a vote if they do that. And is there research that shows that an immigrant, first-time immigrant voter will tend to vote Democrat? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know that there has been hard research on that. You kind of have to take it election by election. But in this in the 2020 presidential election, President Trump did well among Hispanic voters. And, you know, they're not a monolith. It depends on the economy. It depends on jobs, you know, a host of issues. And so Democrats are taking a bit of a gamble here. Nonetheless, I think they think if the numbers are, if the volume is just so large that, you know, on balance, they view themselves as benefiting from it.
You know, I was kind of messing around with the math, and at one point, and this might have been when Hillary was running, I don't know if this is still true, but at one point it was when they were making the shift to be pro-immigration. The biggest landslide in America was 17 million votes at the time. May still be. I don't know. I wish I did, but I don't. But 22 million, 17, kind of do the math. You know, it just seems like that is what's been going on. And it doesn't make sense because of all the things, the policies that the Biden administration has brought in. What was the program, Laura, called that kept the Mexican folks in Mexico until they had their proper paperwork? Is that going to be reinstated, or is that not, was that, did Biden get rid of that right at the beginning?
Yes, Biden halted that program on day one. Colloquially, it's called the Remain in Mexico program. The formal name is the Migrant Protection Protocols. But the idea is there are caravans of people coming, mostly from Central America, coming here, claiming fear and asylum because it's pretty easy to commit asylum fraud, and then being released into the U.S. and disappearing. And so back in 1996, Congress had passed a large immigration law, and in it said if someone is coming from through Canada or Mexico and claiming asylum, you can have them wait in the country from which they entered until their asylum claim is done. And no prior president had used that tool, but the Trump administration did. And it very quickly shut down those caravans. People stopped coming because when they learned claiming fear wasn't going to be their golden ticket into the U.S. to disappear, that they stopped coming.
Okay. So what happened, I don't know if you have any inside scoopage, but it was just as if a light switch went off when the Biden administration was coming in, the wagon trains of many, many folks were on their way, and Biden hadn't done a thing yet. Was there all kinds of underpinnings? Was there kind of communication maybe through channels from the coming incoming administration that this is going to be good for you, so get ready? Do you think they just thought, well, we're going to give it a shot since it's a change of administrations? What do you know about all that? Because it was like a light switch went off.
Yeah, you started to see the numbers go up in the fall. And so I think it was a combination of the messaging by the Biden campaign that they were going to turn off the Trump immigration programs and policies. And that word spread. Smugglers took advantage of it. They used it for marketing. and told would-be immigrants, you know, get up to the border now and, you know, take advantage of this. And you saw when Joe Biden won, you'd see video of migrants, you know, cheering on the Mexican side of the border. They would make statements like, we hope he upholds his end of the bargain, you know, let us in like he promised. You saw campaign-like T-shirts that they were wearing for Biden. And so then the numbers really jumped once he was sworn in, and it just keeps going up. I mean, we're looking at over almost 179,000 illegal encounters just in the month of April. And if you compare that to April of last year, that's an increase of 944%.
So then instead of 22 million illegal aliens in the country, there's 23 million now.
I mean, the truth is we don't know an accurate number for the population because, you know, many don't want to be counted, of course. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Census would certainly help with that, but the courts kind of shut that down, and we ran out of time during the Trump administration. And then one of the first executive orders that Joe Biden signed was disallowing that question of citizenship versus non-citizenship to be asked in the census. Regardless, yes, you have a range. I mean, the number that keeps getting cited is 11 million, but they've been using that number for years, so it doesn't seem very credible. And as you said, the more recent study by MIT cites 22 million. So what's important, though, is we have no idea. And yet Congress, you know, the left wants to pass a mass amnesty for whatever this population size is, and Congress is responsible for the purse. And if they don't know how many people would be eligible for this benefit, you know, that's bad enough. But then they also don't know how much it would cost the American taxpayers, which is irresponsible.
But I don't know if they care anymore. I don't know. I just get this weird, you know, I've been on the show for Larry most of this week, and I'm like, what in the world? You know, I'm in business, and so but I love to help Larry out. So I just hear bites. I hear little things. Here I am getting to talk to you from the Heritage Foundation. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, most people don't get to do this. But, you know, I just – something's weird. Something is going on. And my whole supposition this whole week has been, I think this is on purpose because – Biden isn't dumb. Harris isn't dumb. Now, isn't this funny? He appoints her to go down there, but she is not going down there. And that's not because he really wants her to go down there, or she'd be down there, and she doesn't really want to go down there. That's, I don't know why they even said that. What do you make of all that? Why is she not going? What's the fallout for her if she does go down there?
Then I think it's the snapshot. It's the photo of her at the border with the abysmal failure that this border crisis is. And I agree with you. It all seems intended that they're just going to process more illegal immigrants in. They're going to try to, you know, paint the label of trying to make them semi-legal by claiming they are refugees or, you know, fleeing poverty and crime, but those aren't grounds for asylum. 85% to 90% of claims in that area are just, they're not eligible. So, and, you know, in addition to that, the Biden administration has also virtually ended deportations. And so it's a one-way pass into the U.S. You don't get removed, and these people will never be deported.
Or found, will they? I heard that they're putting them in different cities. Is this by design? 2 minutes. I just got the two-minute warning. Is this by design they're putting them in specific geographies where they can actually somehow get whoever is running those cities to approve them to vote? Is there a geographical construct there?
I've not seen proof of that. I think at least some of it tends to be, where does the immigrant want to go? Where does the alien want to go? You know, family or friends or what have you. I myself have been on a plane recently from Dallas to Washington, D.C., where two brand new migrant families were brought onto the plane. They had a large piece of paper that said, I don't speak English. What flight am I supposed to be on? They had large manila envelopes with their itinerary written out for them. And so, yes, it is. They are being flown and bused all over the country, often with very little notice, sometimes no notice to the locality where they're being sent. And this has all sorts of downstream economic effects for those communities in terms of public education, healthcare, social services, welfare. And, you know, one aspect of this that we cannot forget are the drugs that are coming in. More fentanyl is being seized. And, you know, as more Border Patrol agents are pulled off the line to tend to the families and the children that are coming across the border, that means more drugs are getting across elsewhere. And so, you know, Americans are paying dearly, not only through taxpayer dollars, but also lives to these poisonous drugs.
Which is horrific. Laura, you are so good to come on. I really appreciate it. It's a privilege to talk to you. This is Laura Reese, everybody, from the Heritage Foundation. And thank you for being a part of us and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we will be right back.
Making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. I've never been.
Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry. This is my third day, and I'll tell you what, I've got to hand it to Larry. This is hard stuff. This is not an easy thing to keep a two-hour show going and keep up to date on all the key things that one needs to keep up on. I really have to hand it to him, and I have a newfound respect because he's able to keep an audience. He's able to have them be very interested, and I know this because whenever I'm out with him, people are always coming up to him and asking him important questions. So I just want to thank Larry once again to be on the show, and he'd be upset with me that I'm not talking about something else. So let me get to talking about something else. Let's stick with in the last hour or the last segment, I had Laura Reese from the Heritage Foundation on, and I tend to like to kind of string things together. It's easier for me, and I can kind of tell a story. So I talked to her just a moment about Vice President Harris, and said why is she not going down there if this is what is supposed to happen. She's not going down on purpose, I think. And she said, yeah, she doesn't want to get the photo op that everyone would do to, you know, with her in front of children and, you know, packed in these cages. Now, I don't know if they're cages, but they don't look good on the pictures that I've seen. At any rate, but what's interesting here is Representative Ashley Hinson. She's a Republican from Iowa. She's going to introduce a bill that would bar taxpayer money from being used for the travel expenses of Vice President Kamala Harris until she visits the southern border and issues a report on how to solve the crisis there. Isn't that interesting? I don't see where that goes. We all know that you know, President Biden appointed Harris in March. So now what are we in? March, April, May? May. We're in May. To lead diplomatic talks with Mexico and the Northern Triangle countries as part of an effort to solve root causes of the crisis that's seen an historic number of migrants surge in recent months as we talked. And here is what Vice President Harris said. She said, I guess somebody said, hey, how come you're not going down there? And she said, I'm thinking the root causes. I'm supposed to be thinking of the root causes. And so she said, I'm thinking of, this is a quote, I'm thinking of corruption, violence and poverty, the lack of economic opportunity, the lack of climate adaption and climate resilience, the lack of good governance. That's what she said. Those are the root causes. So, I like to dig into things, and I'm not sure I understand what that answer is really all about. I don't think I get that. You got a whole bunch of folks that are stuck on the border, and really, what would happen if she went down there? Wouldn't that be cool? If she went down there, she could learn things from the Border Patrol and what they're dealing with, what they're going through. She could visit kids and reassure them. She said all that. I remember there was a quote. I don't have it in front of me, but she said, you know, if I was in power, you know, she's banging on President Trump and his horrible policies. And she said, if I was down there, I would make sure that everyone felt comfortable, or, you know, in other words, but she's not practicing what she preaches, it doesn't seem like to me. So anyway, on the other side of the hour, stay tuned. I've got some other interesting things to talk about on the border from a different perspective. We'll be back in a moment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler. Pest Solutions.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
50% of the drugs that are in our country come through this Arizona border and then onto I-8 and on I-10, which have become the fentanyl freeway. Now, we also know that they are taking.
So the fentanyl freeway. That's interesting. That is interesting. That is exactly what Laura Reese alluded to. She alluded to the fentanyl freeway when she was on with me a segment or two ago. Drugs, a huge, huge issue coming across this border. So we all think, you know, is at least the news that I watch. Okay, all these poor young kids are coming across. They are dislocated from their families, and you have to ask yourself if kids are coming across without families, that's intentional. The kids didn't run away from mom and dad. It's got to be intentional that they're there or coming across. But you get the idea that it's families. You know, that's mostly. And then you hear stories about, well, there could be bad guys. There could be bad guys hiding out in the middle of families. And they're coming across, too. And then we're going to grab the bad guys and we're going to put them all, you know, the middle-aged males, the teens and the guys in their 20s. We're going to put them over, you know, in this other place. And try to process them. I don't know, but in general, I don't sit and think about drugs, 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 drugs. I think more about humanity, 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 humanity. But as Senator Blackburn, who is speaking, who just spoke, she's introduced a bill this week that would seek to reinstate Trump-era migrant protection protocols in response to the crisis at the border that has overwhelmed the immigration system. So she has a lot to say about it. She said it's a fentanyl freeway. Let's hear from her again.
We also know that they are taking young people and are using them as mules to move these drugs. Mm-hmm. We know that the cartels are very sophisticated. They now completely outfit down to shoes and backpacks in cartel clothing to move these individuals to U.S. soil.
Well, my goodness. What a thing. I mean, you've come all the way from El Salvador or somewhere way south in Mexico, and you come up to our border, and the next thing you know, if you will all you got to do is, hey, I'm going to give you some stuff. You tuck it away in your backpack or whatever, but I'm going to give you clothing. I'm going to give you some cool new gym shoes. I don't know what the clothing looks like or anything, but I imagine it's pretty cool. The cartels have lots of money, and the kids don't have things. They don't have lots of things, except for a lot of times the clothes on their back. So that's interesting that Blackburn would say they're being used as mules. So my picture in my mind is, you know, an old mule with two bags slung over the back of it, you know, carrying stuff on each side of it and trumping along. So I don't know. I guess that's what these poor kids are having to do. So now I don't know. I'm not smart enough. Maybe you do. What do they do when they get across? Are they supposed to meet somebody? Is there, you know, hey, go, there's a guy, he's going to have a green T-shirt on, and he's going to go, you know, and that's your guy, and you just give him this little packet here that's kind of sewn into the lining of your backpack. I have no idea. But at any rate, they're moving product. They're moving fentanyl. And then you go, well, good. All right, fine. It's a kid. They can't have that much on them. And if they just give it off to that guy, then what do they, well, now what the heck happens to them? Where do they go now? I have no idea, but at least they got in, I guess. I'm thinking about it from their perspective. They got in, they dropped the goods, and off I go to the land of freedom. Or do they?
They put a wristband on them that shows they've either paid their fee or they need to work that fee out. That's called indentured servitude. Work that fee out once they get to the U.S. This is through sex trafficking, human trafficking, labor gangs, MS-13, and other gangs. This, we need those Trump protocols put back in place. Biden's open border policy has caused this disarray at the border. It is Biden's immigration policy. Joe Biden and his administration have broken the border, and we need to put these protocols back in place.
So there it is, a policy that has broken the border. And that I've been talking, you know, if you've been listening at all this week, I keep saying the Biden administration knows what it's doing. They know what they're doing. There's policies in place to allow all this. But back to the point, now what do we think about these poor kids? Now what? So you're going to give it to the guy in the green shirt and the plaid pants, the, you know, that's over under the oak tree, and good, you're gone. No, you're not. That guy's going to keep you. That guy's going to keep you. You're now his for a while, and you've got your armband on until you work off certain things. You know, I'm a little bit dumb. I just naive. I don't spend time. I don't live in the southern climes in those states, so I don't really ever get to see it. I'm sure it makes its way up here to the Midwest, but I'm oblivious. I just don't see it because I don't participate in it. But this human trafficking. These kids now are at the whim of the folks on this side. They could be Americans. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. But all of a sudden, this poor kid has a pimp. And now they've got to work off certain things for having been allowed to come to the United States. And I'm just wondering, do they ever work it off? Or are they stuck forever? That would be a neat segment to do. I would love to get to know more about human trafficking and what really happens to the kids. I know in my business, I work with some nonprofits, and I handle some software that helps caseworkers, and human trafficking is one of the pods that a nonprofit can utilize to track, you know, the caseworker's load. So I know that it exists all over this country. It's like right in front of your face. So I don't know. That drives me bananas. I just want to, you know, what are you doing, Biden? What are you doing? You allow this stuff? What, for votes? Is that what it is? You're just because you get more votes? Remember that math? Remember that math? There's 17 million, maybe 22 million in the country, that's plenty. That's plenty to override any landslide, and if they vote Democrat, they got it. It used to be, when I grew up, I grew up as a Chicago Democrat, Mayor Daley in Chicago, and it used to be that was a machine up there, the Windy City, and it's windy because the Lake Michigan is there, but that's not what Windy City means. Windy is a bunch of hot air by a lot of politicians in Chicago. That's the Windy City. But I grew up under Mayor Daley, and it was a union town, a strong union town, and union workers and American workers. And that used to be the Democrat Party. That used to be it. And then all of a sudden this change, all of a sudden. And so now you got people like Marsha Blackburn having to come up with, crazy legislation to try to keep people doing what they're supposed to, like Vice President Harris, and it's not going to go anywhere. But I am just amazed at how the shift in the Democrat Party has occurred. And if you really dig in, it's which group of people are more oppressed so that they will vote for institutional care. Think about it. That's it. It's institutional care. Look, I come here. I need to be cared for. I don't have anything at this particular point. Used to be a lot of the blue collar workers, right? They needed the union. And rightly so. There were capitalists that were taking advantage of their labor force. Same capitalists that a lot of times will go after the immigrants. And remember the Democrat Party back then? The immigrants, they were protecting. They were protecting the workers, the American workers. And if there were legal immigration into this country, they wanted to take care of them and make sure that they weren't pressed into some kind of overburdened labor at the hands of industrialists, right? So there was a time and a place for the union. And it's interesting. Trump comes in, and who loves him? The blue-collar workers, because they've been left by the Democrat Party. They've moved on to a new group of poverty folks that need their care and their institutional care. I tell you what, you know the old saying, you teach a man to, you give him a fish or you teach him to fish. Which is better? Which is better? It's teaching him to fish. He doesn't need you anymore then. He doesn't need you. You don't have to sit there and pat your back and say what a great person I am for helping these underprivileged people. You know, I go back and I think about all this division and all this craziness that's going on, political parties using people as pawns, cartels using people as pawns. Everybody is power, power, power. It's just ridiculous. And then I go back to Martin Luther King. Think about him. Think about him. What do you think he'd be if he were here today? Judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I dream of a day when there's little black girls and little white boys united. Where is that? Where is that? When I was growing up, Dr. King was a giant. And all of a sudden, he's gone. And to what end? That's what I wish I could have asked Laura Reese from the Heritage Foundation. Hey, Laura, you're an expert in all this stuff. where ultimately does all this end? What do you think? Is it going to, are we all going to just be, I don't know, just all be cogs in somebody else's big wheel? Are we going to be part of the state? Or the state-run media keeps us in check, like Larry Connors always says? Anyway, we've got one more segment this hour. Look forward to coming back. Here's an obscene profit timeout.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right. Got a few minutes left here before the top of the hour and the news. Frank Van Brie again sitting in for the great Larry Connors. I've been searching around and looking at a few things. And last night, I think it was, there was on one of the talk shows, there was kind of a joke going on about the CDC and the vaccine. I thought, okay, well, let's see what this is about. We all know that last week the CDC changed its guidelines to say that those who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 can safely stop wearing masks most places indoors, such as bars and restaurants, outdoors, all that. The new guideline asks people, regardless of vaccination status, wear your masks in crowded indoor settings like buses, planes, hospitals, prisons, stuff like that. But here's the kicker. There's no way to know who is really vaccinated and who isn't vaccinated. Well, there's plenty of people that haven't been vaccinated. There's plenty of people who have. And the tendency, I would think, for those that are not vaccinated might be to say, oh, yeah, I'm vaccinated, which is fine. You can get by with that for now. Let's just say I'm vaccinated. Yeah, I don't know. I don't need a mask. But at some point, I don't know if there will be asked, if we will be asked for proof. Now, I don't know if I'm for that, really. I mean, that just seems like you're a guardian of the state, which I've been kind of railing against. It just seems like everything is too state-like. So I don't know what I really feel about that, but it seems like a little cottage industry might be surfacing. Fake COVID cards. Fake COVID cards. How do we know that that is spiking? Well, because Google, the Google machine, they're going to tell us that it's spiking. The fake COVID card, fake vaccine card, fake COVID vaccine card. All those phrases spiked on Google Trends following the May 13th announcement by the CDC. And then Forbes, that does searches specifically for fake COVID ID and fake vaccine, that search grew by 950% compared to the previous 90-day period. 950%. So there's a lot of folks thinking, what will we do? Now, there's a National Association of Attorneys General, NAAG, N-A-A-G, NAAG. They wrote a letter to companies like Twitter, eBay, Shopify to ask that they work on preventing people from selling fake vaccine cards on their respective platforms. They said, quote, from the letter, "The false and deceptive marketing and sales of fake COVID vaccine cards threatens the health of our community. Slow progress in getting our residents protected from the virus and are a violation of the laws of many states, reads the letter signed by 47 attorneys general. So they ask that these companies monitor their platforms, take down ads or links for fake cards, save information about those who are selling fraudulent cards. I got to tell you, if I'm going to do a fake vaccine card, what kind of dummy am I if I go right to social media and promote it? They're taking everybody down for far less than that. Why would I suddenly advertise that I'm a fraud? I'm here. You can get your fraudulent card right here from me. I've got a little shingle out. That just doesn't make any sense. But, well, here's one example of this is just crazy. The CVS employee, he's in Long Island, New York, and he was arrested when he was found arrested. Get this. So it's starting to happen. He was arrested when he was found with 62 fake vaccine cards. 52 fake vaccine cards. He reportedly told the police that he had taken the cards from his employer. I guess CVS, sure. I guess they've got the little dock in a box or whatever that's called you can go to. So he took some cards. I guess you need actual cards. Maybe there's barcodes on them or something. But he said, I had sold some cards to students and was intending to share the remainder with my family and friends. I wasn't going to sell them all. I was going to give some to my family and friends. So anyway, we all know Dr. Anthony Fauci has said that there's a very, very low likelihood that fully vaccinated people will transmit the virus, whether they're wearing a mask or not. So those folks are okay. What are we going to do with the baseball game? Like here in St. Louis, we've got the St. Louis Cardinals. And I've heard other MLB teams say, hey, if you have been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. If you haven't been vaccinated, wear a mask. It'll be fascinating to see what the stands look like when the cameras pan them. All right. That's the end of the first hour. Larry Connors. We are live, but Larry Connors' show will continue on the other side of the break.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.